50,000 watts while serving Tucker, Decatur, and Atlanta. WGUN 1010 AM, where God unites nations.
Remember me when the color of a sunset fills the sky. Remember me.
Thank you, Mark Schultz. Welcome to the Soulful Mind radio program. I'm Dr. Patrick Ware, Duluth Child Psychiatrist. We're here every Friday from 2 to 2:30. You can reach us through our website at www.thesoulfulmind.com or listen live at www.wgunradio.com. We've got good news today. I have recently been inviting select listeners to indicate interest in becoming co-hosts by sending me an email at drjimpat@aol.com. And today we have a real treat. We've invited people and we've had a response. We have an entire family here today, a Christian family at that. But first, a few housekeeping chores. We want to remind you, the listener, that this program is simply the expression of the experience and the opinions of the presenters, and not intended to be in any way a comment on any group, be it religious or professional. Our intent is to augment your search and discovery of what's in your heart and your faith, and we look forward to working with you in doing that. Tentatively, we have scheduled next Friday Dr. Bonnie Kellen, who's going to be available by call-in in discussing career choices. Dr. Kellen's practice is in Manhattan, New York. Our family continues to grow, and we want to remind you that your call-in opinions, emails, are very important to us. We're at 770-491-7748. We also hope that you remember that it is our position that your discovery of your full heart is the pathway to a full, rich life. And that one of the vehicles or tools in using that is the exercise, which is on our website, www.thesoulfulmind.com. I will remind you that it's simply a matter of pausing after any feeling, any size, any quality, any time, and asking yourself, and how intense was that? And then letting your mind register the magnitude of that intensity on a 0 to 10 scale, where 0 is no intensity, and 10 is the most intense feeling that you could ever imagine having. Our family of acknowledgement continues to grow, and we've listed those names on the website. An opening prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly ask for your blessing and direction in this ministry. Open our hearts and ears that we may hear and have our hearts and minds guided, that we may be heard by those of you who will benefit from your gifts. Also, we want to remind you again that all of our old programs, both program notes and the recordings, are available through www.thesoulfulmind.com, and thanks to Miss Jenny, our webmaster. Another reminder, callers, it is okay to call. If you interrupt us, we promise we will get back on subject or topic. So let us hear from you, 770-491-7748. I'm pleased to introduce to you the Leslie Mayorga family, Leslie, Scott, and Sarah, who are about to tell you a brief bit about themselves. Leslie, welcome back to the Soulful Mind radio program.
Thank you for having me back, Dr. Ware. I'll introduce myself. I'm Leslie. Again, I'm mother of two, wife of one. A registered nurse, a sign language interpreter. Getting close to Mother's Day, so I'll remind you that my mom recently passed away, so this Mother's Day is going to be a little bittersweet for me, because although it's nice that and wonderful to remember my own mom, it's going to be a little bit tearful for me, but I do have two wonderful daughters, and it's nice that my own daughter is here with me today. So I can share that with her, a nice experience with her today.
Well, why don't we go to that wonderful daughter, Miss Sarah? Would you like to share something with our listeners about who you are and where you're from and what that kind of thing?
I'm Sarah, and I'm 16 years old. I'll be 17 September, and I'm a junior at my high school. I hold a job in the park, and I like to run. I play flute. That's about it.
Yeah, except you took a test this morning.
Oh, AP test.
Yeah, for?
For AP US History.
I love that story about the guy who was sleeping in an AP test history test.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
I wonder if he got credit.
Hopefully not.
Okay, well, Scott, Dad, welcome to the Soulful Mind Radio program. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello. My name is Scott Mayorga, and I'll follow in my wife's footsteps for her introduction, although sometimes I don't always follow my wife's footsteps. I'm a child of God, husband of one, father of two, guardian of one, lab scientist by profession, self-proclaimed geek.
Awesome. I have to acknowledge that I have a little geekness to myself, actually.
Thank you, sir.
But it's hopefully hidden. The topic of the day, ladies and gentlemen, is the old African proverb. Does it really take a village to raise a child? Actually, the proverb is it takes a village to raise a child. And we're asking, does it really take a village to raise a child? So let's get started. Does the village raise our youth, or are we losing our youth to the village? How about that, Sarah? Do you think that our community, the other kids in the community, the media, MTV, programs like Sweet 16 or American Idol are telling the youth what life is really all about? What do you think?
I definitely agree how they try telling us or try telling the teens how to act or how we're supposed to act, but it just depends. If you let the programs and the media and stuff influence you, it just depends on your character, if you're going to let something like that influence you.
So does everybody want to be a Paris Hilton? Or do a lot of people in their mid to late teens want to look and walk and talk like the stars or the people who are in the media that are representing what lifestyles ought to be like?
I guess a lot of people base the stars' lives on what they should be and how they should act. But I don't not say the majority, but there's a lot of people. Then again, there's a lot of people that don't.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, I do think that we've lost our youth to the village, and the village is about to be burned to the ground. I say that Mama has been rocking the cradle, but TV rules the world. Social issues, news, money, life, and everything in general is unrealistically portrayed on the tube. Our teens are getting a very skewed point of view as the condition of life is just terribly portrayed on TV.
One of the things that I find myself doing when I watch some of these programs, I have good friends who are absolutely enamored by American Idol, and they filmed a program actually next door to my office this year. There's something about enjoying laughing at someone trying to do their best when there's something shy of pristine in their ability that really bothers me. And then we celebrate the winner as being the role model, the person that we should be like. And I guess, you know, my interest is in, I want to know about the other 99% of the population. What are their lives like? And what's directing them? I'd like to key off the subject today, further develop the ideas that we have to present for discussion with you, 770-491-7748. In looking at MAD's website, that's Mothers Against Drunk Driving, www.mad.com, I found this morning nationally in 2002, of all total fatalities, some nearly 7,000, 35% of them were teen alcohol related. One out of three of all fatalities nationally in 2002, more than one out of three were alcohol teen related fatalities. In 2003, it was up 1%, a few less in terms of the total number, but still 36% in 2003. In Georgia, in 2002, 1/4 of all fatalities in Georgia in 2002 were teen alcohol related. In 2003, it was 21%, down percentile-wise, 49 out of 236. I, as many of us, were deeply saddened this week to hear of the recent local newscast concerning, yes, another teen death involving reckless driving and alcohol. This time, a 16-year-old without a seatbelt who was a fairly well-known local athlete. The amazing thing to this listener, to this observer, was that a very prominent local radio station report indicated that people were talking about the teen's parents and possibly others involving those that provided the alcohol in lawsuits. I wonder, given the reported information about this teen apparently having had previous behavior difficulties, whether allowing a 16-year-old to drive alone to a party where alcohol was being served is only the responsibility of the individuals who serve the alcohol. I wonder where the responsibility lies for allowing a teen with those issues who doesn't fasten his seatbelt as automatically as he breathes. I wonder where that responsibility is. Roy, welcome to thesoulfulmind.com.
Yes, sir. Written. Hello?
I'm having trouble hearing you, Roy.
Greetings.
Greetings. How can we be of help?
Yes, this statement about it takes a village to raise a child, what it really is that people used to go to the fields in Africa, or they, you know, going to war or something. And then the old village would take care of that child. That's what it means.
Yeah, I understand that. What we're talking about today is whether or not the influence of the village is a desirable influence or not, Roy.
Yes, but we're talking about the meaning of it. Because I remember when I was growing up, as you can tell, I grew up in the West Indies, and when we leave home, we could not be doing anything that we should not be doing in the streets, because the neighbors and everyone was there to chastise us. I mean, chastise.
Yes. Well, I do believe...
That's what it means. I
do believe, Roy, that there have been some changes in the way culture is governed in our society in the last 30 years, certainly different from when I was a teenager. But we really appreciate your call, Roy. I hope you'll listen. I hope you'll consider doing the exercise on our website and call back and let us know how you're doing.
Okay, but just remember the real meaning of it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Roy. Getting back to what we were discussing in terms of responsibility, our hearts do go out to the family. They must be completely devastated. Is it that hard to deny your teen driving privileges until you know in your heart that they're responsible? What about that, Leslie?
No. No, it's not, and I'll tell you why. There's the Georgia law, and there's the Mayorga law, and you don't have to like it, because at our house, the Georgia law, the Mayorga law supersedes the Georgia law. In our house, you don't get a permit when you're 15. You get a permit when you're 16. I don't feel that any 15-year-old belongs behind the wheel
now,
of a car.
Do you get a permit when you're 16 just because the clock says you're 16?
No,
or are there
you
other...
get a permit when you're 16 because you show that you're responsible enough for a permit, because you have a job, because you are an A student, because you're responsible, because you deserve a permit. Hmm. You will take your driver's test and get your driver's license when you're 17 because you deserve your driver's license, because you don't need to get your driver's license until you're 18, and you can go get it yourself.
Sounds like that the teenager has earned the parents' trust.
Because, right.
What about
it
that?
It is not a right. It's not a right. it's a privilege.
What about that, Scott? Is that congruent with the masculine side of the parental dyad?
Oh, definitely. Driving is a privilege. We're not born with driver's licenses. We earn those through our life experiences.
And you know what? It would be easier for me if Sarah had her license, because I have to ferry her from point A to point B every day of my life. But you know what? I love Sarah more than anything in this world. And by God, I want to see her grow up to be an adult.
I have teenagers all the time telling me, generally in confidence, that they know if they wait long enough that the inconvenience of their not driving will be a bigger variable than their parents' decision not to let them drive until they're responsible.
We're a team effort.
No, I'll drive her. I don't care.
Okay, let's find out. No. Let's find out the truth about what Sarah thinks.
Yeah.
Let us have it, Sarah.
Yeah, I figured that if I got a job further away from home, 30, 45 minutes away, my mom would finally get sick of it and be like, okay, you can get your license faster, but
didn't happen.
Didn't work.
So
no.
There's a method. There's a method to it. Does it work?
No, it doesn't.
I sat in that parking lot today for an hour and 15 minutes in the heat. It does not matter. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and drive her to school. We sit at football games until 1 o'clock in the morning and pick her up. It's not going to happen because her life is too important. And, you know, she could be the best driver in the world. And I say to her, you're never as good as you think you are. And no matter how good she is, on a Friday night, look at the Mothers Against Drunk Driving statistics. There is going to be some raging fool on the road who's come from a party. She doesn't have the experience. She doesn't have the wherewithal to know what to do. No child does. It's not fair of her to put her in that position.
We were talking before the program began, and Sarah, you and I were chatting about rules and about whether or not there really is a dual or two life system for teenagers, you know, the one that you share with your parents and the one that you have with your friends. Would you mind sharing with us again what your thoughts were about whether or not teenagers generally follow rules? Do they have double lives? What's that really like?
Well, if you're gonna do something bad, if you really want to do something that goes against what you're supposed to, you're gonna, no matter what, you'll find a way to do it. If you're gonna do something bad, you'll find a way to do it, and you'll find a way, whether you get caught or not. I don't know, but you'll find a way. It's just whether you're going to do it or not.
So do you think if we took 100 randomly sampled teenagers from an average high school in our county, and we really knew the truth about what they were doing and who they were with, would we find out anything that would surprise their parents,
yeah,
you think?
They'd be completely shocked.
You think so?
Utterly shocked, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I would just simply say that before you can help your child learn what's essential to be a whole, complete person. This is my commercial for the Soulful Mind again. The parent needs to be connected and grounded in their own life and in their relationship with their spouse. And then as that's happening, then it really is easier to say to your child no when they need it. Shades of Nancy Reagan, I guess.
Just say no.
I would have to
add.
It has
to be a team effort.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the team, if the village is a team in concert with the family, then we do have It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. But right now, my sense is that the wagons are circled and that the family cannot rely upon the community. I tell kids all the time, our parents all the time, that you want your child more concerned about what you're going to do, say, or think in terms of their life than anyone in the community, including the policeman, the judge, the teacher, the coach, because generally speaking, those folks are either overwhelmed or disconnected.
And let me ask you, what do you do when your child, for instance, when our kids were little, the first time they tried asking me for something, and I said no, and they ran to Dad and asked him, we had a fit the first time. Mm-hmm. You don't put up with it. You don't pit mom against dad. You don't pit dad against mom. If I say no, it's no.
Well, some families will implement the rule that if the parents find out that the question was posed the second time, that the answer is automatically rescinded at that point, and that it's looked at as a maneuver, a manipulation, if not even a lie.
You've got to present a united front.
Absolutely. And don't forget that moms and dads can always say, you always reserve the right to change your position on any rule, any time, for any reason, and the reason only has to be...
Because I said so.
Well said.
You know,
Scott, be in charge.
Yes, absolutely.
Be in charge of your children, and it's going to come back to you because years later...
You can be in charge.
We got a sigh here.
You're going to be in charge of your parents.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yes. It comes around.
Mm-hmm. Treat me like you want to be treated when you're like 70.
Go for it,
when
Sarah.
When I'm 70.
Sarah, 70's not so old, Sarah. I know that.
And you know what? That's a good thing. Because you know what? I took care of my mom. And you know what? I did a good job. You've got to be an example. And that's the truth.
Yep.
It's the truth.
Well, I think it really goes back to living your truth. You know, it's like no matter what the pain or the sadness or the sorrow or the conflict, if you cannot be true to your own soul, if you can't accept and acknowledge Intensity Monitors, folks, website, you know, any feeling, any size, any quality, if you cannot embrace what all of the feelings in your heart, then how in the world are you going to deal with all the distractions in the world? And if you're not connected to you, and you and your spouse are not connected to one another as a partnership, how in the world are you going to teach a child how to do it?
It's true.
770-491-7748. I just want to go back and add one other thought about that tragic story that emanated from our local community. To this observer, the real sadness was in looking at the number of words that the local and national media spent in describing this young man's athletic prowess. And very, very, very few words were allotted or directed towards his humanity. What kind of a person was he? Is there any
possible? Not important anymore.
You know, it's like all that matters is do you get a scholarship and do you win the Heisman Trophy? Could this young man be a victim of what our society today is worshiping? That's really a tough one. So here we go. We're going to make as many points as we can. We've only got about 9 minutes. So if anybody has a burning issue with regard to an unsafe teen or difficulty communicating with a teen, we got a great family here and an honest, straight-up Christian family that's willing to address and respond from their perspectives. Let's hear from you, 770-491-7748. My thoughts are, perhaps somewhat controversial, that I do believe we are allowing the community and perhaps the media to raise our children. Even when parents try to know what's going on in their child's life in this country, suburban Atlanta, getting a high school counselor and in some cases even a middle school counselor to share with the parent what's really happening with their child in school is blocked on the basis of, believe it or not, confidentiality. A class action lawsuit probably waiting to happen. The accepted norm for kids beginning as early as the fifth grade is to have two lives, and Sarah spoke to that a few minutes ago. How many times have I heard that parents who find out something about another youth in their community call the parents of that youth, assuming that the parents want to know about it, only to get hung up on or perhaps even chastised directly for meddling? You cannot assume that the parents of the child that you're hearing these stories about things they're doing or saying that come to you through your child, if you're fortunate, that the parents are going to be grateful. So, you know, we go to the idea that parents should always, that there is no such thing as a friendship that isn't approved by the parents. You can't have a friend that mom and dad don't meet, know, and say yes to. And I always add that it's important for parents to know the child's parents.
A lot of parents don't want to get involved. It's just easier if they have the money to turn over a BMW or a Jaguar to a 17-year-old and then cry on TV when the Jaguar is wrapped around the tree and the child is in a morgue somewhere.
Well,
that's a lot easier than dealing with day-to-day issues and raising a child like they're supposed to be raised.
Then there's other parents that, like, they think they know their children, and then they don't know their children, their parents, or their children go behind their backs, and just like I said, they do.
Let me ask you.
They do what they want to. If they're going to get behind the wheel of a car when they're not supposed to, if they're going to steal their parents' car and go out to dinner.
Let me ask you, do we know you?
Here comes your mom.
Do we know you? Because you know what, Sarah? I know I have your password.
You got me pegged.
I think I have you pegged.
There's no way to hide from you.
There is no way to hide from me because I have your passwords to all your, you know, the things that you're on.
I'm very, very sheltered.
And you know what? You still have to wonder.
I wish the audience could see this angelic face.
It's an angelic face, but don't think I say not my child, because I'm not that type of mother. Oh, yes,
well, let me
child.
Let me ask Sarah a really important question. Okay. You guys are going to continue this conversation after 2:30 today. I know that's for a fact, and I hope our listeners are interested in you guys coming back, because I certainly am. But let me ask you this question. How do we reach the parents? How do we reach out and touch these parents and tell them, look, your child's life is in danger? You know, the people who make it to my office, they're involved and they're concerned and they're willing to put their time and energy and funds behind the interventions. What about the parents who haven't even thought about whether or not their child's unsafe? How do we reach them? How do we tell them?
There's just different things that your team would... Me and my mom and my dad, we have a really good relationship, and I'm not afraid to, like, openly, if I have a problem, if I'm going to talk to anyone, it's going to be my parents. I'm not the kind of person that would really go to my friends, unless it's, like, a really, really close friend. I trust my parents. So if your teen isn't coming to talk to you about something that's wrong, then, in my opinion, I think that there's a problem right there. But, like, when your teen is going to the computer or going to other places for help, they think that's a problem.
See, we have two barriers. We have the barrier that comes from the teen when the teen stops talking to their parent, which happens at different ages and different times. And then we have the other barrier, which is the parent who isn't hearing what their child is saying. So quickly, I would just simply say that recommending family conferences before, during, or after dinner where you regularly sit and talk, everybody contributes their thoughts about what their day was like.
And, I mean, I know that some teens, they make it seem like, but I know most teens, they do like family nights and like going out and just being like a part of the family and stuff. I enjoy that. I don't know about everyone else.
Leslie, you were about to say something?
I say, no parent's perfect. No parent is perfect, and no child is perfect. Don't think your child's perfect because they're not. And to the kids, don't think your parents are perfect because they're not. No one's perfect. If you were perfect, you wouldn't need Jesus Christ, and that's what I'm going to say. But if you think, not my child, that my dad had a saying. He used to say, everyone's out of step but my Johnny, as the kid, as they were looking at the marching band. No. No one's perfect.
Absolutely.
Don't put that burden on your child. Your child has to be perfect.
It's about communication. It's about listening, and it's about sharing. Scott, your thoughts?
Parents, be a support structure. Don't be a doormat.
Ooh, wow. Yes!
Well, I think the parent who's afraid that their child might not like what they're going to do can't handle it.
They're not your friend. They're your flesh and
absolutely.
Blood.
Let your kids be, like, let your teenagers be who they want to be. Just, I mean, can be part of their lives. Don't let them... control them, just let them be themselves in a healthy way.
Well, I've had a sense that we wouldn't barely scratch the surface, so let's just have a wrap-up comment. Leslie, your thoughts in the end before we close today?
Like Scott said, we're the parents, we're not the friend. I want Sarah to grow up to be a healthy, good, kind, loving adult, but I want her to grow up.
Sarah, your thoughts? To either parents or teenagers.
After being a part of a high school that's lost, now it's 4 teenagers to car accidents. Just do what you're supposed to. Be where you're supposed to be. Just follow what your parents say, because it can save your life.
Thank you, Sarah. Scott?
The village is burning. The village is burning. Ignore the political police. Political correctness. Avoid that.
Amen.
Just do what you know is right with your children.
We're the soulful. Thank you, Scott. We're the Soulful Mind radio program every Friday at 2:00. We'd like to remind you that we salute your discovery of what we like to call six-way love. May you, using your exercise, find your full acceptance of all of your heart, your divine gift of life and consciousness, as well as have the opportunity of allowing yourself to love another completely while letting them love you completely. That is truly heaven on earth. What we believe God intended for us all. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you next Friday.
I'm going to tell you the secret to making lots of money.
The Real Estate Connectors.
They're telling everybody.
Real Estate in the Know.
Saturdays from 1 to 2. Sunday from 3 to 4. Real Estate in the Know.
Your community radio station, where God unites nations. WGUN, Atlanta.
The American Advisor.